Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your morning coffee of free speech because you wake up and you smell the coffee. And honestly, it doesn't smell that good. It's pretty bad. Bad coffee. You want some better coffee? Well, you got to pay for it. You don't want that Starbucks stuff because that's really going to... I don't know. I don't drink coffee. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, lots and lots of fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, we've got Paul Stevenson with us. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. Good to be with you again.
Thank you for joining me. And so I guess we're going to start with, Mr. Graciousness, Vladimir Zelensky. The thing that I like about giving him hundreds of billions of dollars is all the gratitude we get. He's so gracious.
Oh, yeah. Very, very humble man, and obviously embodies gratitude, and he realizes just how helpful we've been, and couldn't possibly be more grateful and appreciative of our help here, Patrick, especially at a time when things aren't easy for Western people themselves. In Europe, for example, it doesn't help that you have the Nord Stream pipeline blown up as a result of the obsession with Ukraine. But at least we have Zelensky, who's a very humble, grateful kind of a guy, which does make it easier,
Yeah, it makes it easier. So you mentioned Europe and a country like Germany, for instance, where... You mentioned the Nord Stream pipeline, which was blown up by the United States. Was there any involvement in by Britain? I don't know, but it was blown up for the sake of Ukraine, and that means Germany no longer gets Germany and other European countries no longer get cheap Russian gas. And as a result, their industries are going into decline. But deindustrialization is just a small price to pay for that Christmas-like joy that you see on Vladimir Zelensky's face. Just seeing that smile on his face is worth it, right? It's all worth it, isn't it?
Of course. And this is really encapsulated in a recent Economist interview that he's done. And where basically he is, he's outlined his concern and has said he's seen in the eyes in the eyes of Western officials during meetings, he has seen weakening support. And in typical gratitude fashion, he has warned Western governments of poll defeats and, wait for it, trouble from the Ukrainian refugees that we have been so kind to take. We have shouldered the burden for the Wild West population of Ukraine. And I guess I shouldn't be too judgmental of the people of Ukraine, because it is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It's like an African country in Europe, in Eastern Europe. It very much would fit right in with many of the African countries. And now in sort of typical African country style, we have millions of them on the march and have been into Europe. And we've spoken about this before, where there is all this sympathy for these Ukrainians, because, you see, I don't know why you realize, but Ukraine's a very big country, and the majority of these wars are fought in, rural areas and open plains. And of course, if you listen to some sources, when they bomb Kiev or they bomb wherever, whatever town, it's very indiscriminate. The Russians, in fact, I don't know why they just even hire generals, because Putin just sort of fires missiles indiscriminately into Kiev And if he fires enough of them, maybe he'll hit some military targets by accident. But apart from that, you know, he's generally motivated by attacking schools, particularly kindergartens and things like that. Hospitals, Vladimir Putin loves to bomb hospitals. I think he maybe gets some special advice as to where the kindergartens and the hospitals are so he can bomb those areas. But anyway, you know, a lot of people left Ukraine as refugees, you know, in war, like they've experienced it firsthand, like they wake up every morning with a house, you know, shaking and just about got away with, you know, their lives. And this, of course, is nonsense. I lived in Northern Ireland for since right through the 80s and the 90s. I never saw a shot fired or a bomb in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was right in the middle. I was right in the middle of a very Republican town with lots of IRA in that town, completely Catholic town. There was no Protestants. Well, actually, I think there was one school which had about 150 Protestants in it. And I never saw anything. I was like 20 miles south of Derry City. I'd been to Derry City a lot of times as well, and I never saw any shootings or bombs. So the idea in a country as big as Ukraine, and with the precision-guided weaponry that's available to the Russians today, that they're all fleeing for their lives, is total nonsense. In many ways, and this would probably sound like a completely horrible, insulting thing to say to people, that it's the best thing that ever happened to them. Because if you've got a choice of living in, despite what our media says, well, they changed the narrative, obviously, when the war started. It suddenly turned into, you know, from the corrupt Wild West that it is, into this pristine democracy of freedom and libertarian values. You know, if you're leaving one of the most corrupt countries in the world, an oppressive country where the economy is terrible and you work all month for about 150 or 300 pounds, equivalent to about $250 a month if you're lucky, now you can have that life, or you can have the red carpet rolled out for you in Europe. And I don't know, but, you know, I know for a fact, for example, I heard this story that, like a personal story, not in the news, that a friend of someone I know who's dear to me left the Crimea, of all places. Now, bearing in mind the Crimea is not even, we know it's not Ukrainian territory, but I guess in the eyes of the Italian government and the West, it's, you know, they draw the border lines and not the reality of Russia having territory, you know, owning that territory. But she has, this woman has 7 apartments in Crimea, which she still has her income from, and she has a beautiful apartment paid for by the Italian taxpayers in Lake Como, one of the most beautiful parts of Europe that you could possibly imagine. So she is allowed to keep her 7 apartments. Note that her 7 apartments are perfectly safe because they're still providing an income, but she had to flee Crimea for her life and was given all the benefits you could imagine by the Italian government. So anyway, to add insult to injury, now we have Zelensky telling us, and we've discussed this before, that this is something not to be ignored. When you have millions of people flooding into Europe, they can shape public opinion. And of course, they are going to be voting for every anti-Russian policy and every pro-Ukrainian policy, including sending as much money as you can and weaponry as you can and keep the whole thing going. Zelensky, cognizant of this fact, has threatened sort of aspiring politicians and saying that, you know, that you could be affected at the polls if you stop supporting pro-Ukrainian policies because of the refugees there. So again, this is the embodiment of gratitude. You know, we're now getting threats because of our kindness by taking in millions of Ukrainian refugees who probably never saw a shot fired, but realize that this is their ticket out of a crap hole and into civilized countries, and they can have the red carpet rolled out for them and live very nicely for free, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for that long.
No, that's right. All right. So when are these when do Ukrainian refugees get the ability to vote in European countries? How long does that take?
Well, I don't know, because if you take Ireland, for example, I saw an article in Ireland where, like I mentioned before, where there was outrage because the Ukrainians didn't want to pay for their own food. And I initially thought, well, I mean, these people have just, most of them have got nothing. They've left Ukraine. And then I realized that, no, what they're complaining about is they don't want to pay for the food from the money that the Irish government had already given them. And in addition to that, they had full citizen rights where they could work. So, you know, I presume if you've got those sorts of rights in Ireland, that's probably, you know, I can't say for sure, but it's probably fairly ubiquitous across the European Union, of which Ireland is part of, that they are able to vote too, because they seem to be given all the privileges of your average, you know, European Union nation citizen, you know. Yeah. He basically, just to quote Zelensky, he said, failure to support Ukraine amounts to siding with Russia in the conflict. So here you have this type of, it's out of this playbook where it's not enough just to say you're not racist. You have to be anti-racist. I don't know. You have to join BLM or something, or some anti-racist group or something. So he's basically saying, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. So failure to support Ukraine amounts to siding with Russia in the conflict. This is for, you know, this is a threat to European nations. If partners do not help us, it means they will help Russia to win. This is the kind of, I mean, this kind of audacity is so Jewish, except that Zelensky is so much more directly aggressive. He's like a Jew with no filter, this guy, you know. Western voters will not forgive their leaders if they lose Ukraine. And does he really believe this, that we will not forgive our leaders if they lose Ukraine? Lose Ukraine for what? How does that affect me, you know? You know what I mean? It's just like, sorry. I mean, and I think the Ukrainians believe this nonsense. I think that's why they're so uppity in Europe. They really feel that, like, they are, you know, some really special type of people because they drink the Kool-Aid. That they are somehow defending Europe, and that if we don't defend them in Ukraine, well, the Russians are coming. Further trouble may also come from the millions of Ukrainian refugees now residing across Western Europe, he said. Again, no filter. He doesn't hold back, this guy. I mean, he's got the brass necks of all brass necks. He said, well, now listen to this. It gets worse. They have generally behaved well, but if their hosts drive these people into a corner, the end result will not be a good story. Could you imagine? I mean, this guy, it must be true that he's a cokehead, because this guy has absolutely zero etiquette. Imagine what we've done for those people and taken them in. And this is how he talks. You know, they've generally behaved well, but, you know, the end result will not be good if you drive these people into a corner. I mean, what are they going to do, Vladimir? You know?
Now, I have a question. So the when this all started in February, when the Russian military operation started in February, Zelensky immediately issued an order preventing men, I think 18 years old to 60 years old, preventing them from leaving the country. So presumably these refugees would be mostly women. I know some men did get out, and Zelensky is starting to try to extradite men who left the country and get them. I think, of course, the men who were able to leave the country, Jewish men were able to leave the country. There was that famous incident on Fox News where you had this guy in a Hebrew Dayglo orange or green vest come on asking for money to get Jews out of Ukraine. And Tucker said, well, men aren't allowed to leave Ukraine. And he said, oh, no, we have a way. Did you put our 1-800 number up? Make sure the 1-800 number is up so people can give to us. It was bizarre. I'd love to see that. I don't know if that's even still on the internet, but it was on Fox News Live, and then he was on Hannity on the next show doing the same thing, although Hannity was with him, whereas Tucker was, like, looking rather confused. At any rate, these refugees, one would assume, are largely women. What are they? What is it that they are supposed to do to misbehave? And Zelensky, after Ukraine is defeated, what kind of power does Zelensky think he's going to have? Does he think he's going to have some sort of government in exile in Miami or Tel Aviv? What's his end game here?
These are the utterings of a very desperate man who's staring over the abyss, basically, and realizes. In fact, Zelensky himself, again, I think it was with a CBS reporter over the weekend, has basically admitted that the whole counteroffensive has failed, because he's talking about, we started too late. You know, we give the Russians too much time to prepare the defenses and the mines. We don't have air support, blah, blah, blah. He just about came short of saying, okay, it's been a total disaster. So, but he said enough to, or any honest observer, to make it, to, you know, to make it abundantly clear that it's been an abject failure. And so now he's desperate. And, you know, I think he's, like he said, you know, he said that he's seen weakening support in the eyes of Western officials. So now he's lashing out, and he's threatening, you know, trying to weaponize the Ukrainian people. But this is desperation. What is, I don't know, is he's talking about the Poles, and maybe he's expecting some Ukrainians to start rioting or something in Poland or Germany or in Ireland. I don't know what he's suggesting. But it's also interesting that the vast majority of Ukrainians who left that country when polled said they're never going back. These people don't love Ukraine. They saw it as a ticket out of there. If you love your country, you would be hoping that you could go back there one day to your beloved home. These people don't like it there, and they're having a very easy, nice life in stark contrast to what they had in Ukraine for the most part. Like I said, if you've never been to Lake Como, go there. It's the sort of place that you would spend about to pay a lot of money for an apartment. But if you're a Ukrainian refugee, you can keep an income from your seven apartments that you've already acquired in horrible Russian Crimea, according to this woman, and get the Italian government to pay your rent in Lake Como. It's a good gig if you can get it. So, you know, it just sounds like desperation. He's just, you know, his attitude of entitlement knows no limits, and he's an ill-mannered little pup. And he's just desperate, so he's lashing out. And by the way, a new poll has revealed, just to add insult to injury for Zelensky, a new poll in Ukraine. I'm amazed that this poll actually managed to get conducted in the first place, while he is still the leader there. But they overwhelmingly blame Zelensky for the corruption in the country. I think in the over 60s category, it was 81% that said they ultimately hold Zelensky responsible for the corruption in the government, and including since the war. And between the age group of 17 to 29, it was 71%. So even all the LGBTQ flags and all the virtue signaling, even in the younger, more indoctrinated generation, still 71% said that they hold him responsible for the corruption. And of course, he recently had to sack his defense minister, that little creepy weirdo with the bald head and the glasses. He was sacked recently, and that guy also bought his daughter an apartment in France for €7.5 million recently. So wow. That's where the money goes, you know.
And so for the Europeans, it's hard.
We are silenced, Patrick. But we can't say anything. You know, sorry to interrupt you, but it's like over there, you can't say anything anti-Ukraine, you know?
Yeah, now in the United States, we're not getting, I haven't seen a single Ukrainian refugee that I'm aware of. I guess I've seen people here and there speaking what it sounds like Russian, which could just as easily be Ukrainian, but I'm not aware of Ukrainian refugees in any particular numbers over here.
So there wouldn't be many, that's why, if any.
Yeah, so, but regular European people, they've lost their gas. They're inundated with Ukrainian refugees who are getting all sorts of benefits. There's a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of adverse impact to the economy because of the loss of Russian trade. Country like Germany's in recession, so they're having economic bad times.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling.
Do Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Well, I couldn't no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was new as impure, old Aaron's isle. I began abusing her army, so well says I, me shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by, and so I was a howling wind below it. Hooray, the giant in the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky road. To double and one, two, three, four, five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the ways to double and one.
There's a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of adverse impact to the economy because of the loss of Russian trade. Country like Germany's in recession, so they're having economic bad times. In Germany, you do have, I mean, the ADF, the Alternative for Deutschland, is it's gaining in polls. I think it's the number two party now in polls. I don't know if they have any prospect of actually taking power because who's in a coalition with them, but. There's a little bit of backlash, but how widespread is it? When the other shoe drops and the it's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen that that Russia wins and there's nothing that they can do about it. It's clear that Russia's won and. How is the European public going to react after having made all these sacrifices and then Russia wins and Zelensky's in exile? Then what happens?
Well, unfortunately, by that stage, the media will probably have drawn our attention away from anything to do with Ukraine with the next scam, whether it's another lockdown or whether it's Taiwan, who knows? And the European people... you'll have the majority of the morons who will go along with it and won't question anything about it. And you'll have people who basically have no voice. who are very angry about it and see it for what it is, but never get a chance for genuine representation. In fact, you can get in trouble, you know, for expressing certain anti-Ukrainian opinions, for example. So, you know, I don't hold out much hope that, you know, oh, the truth will out one day. Because even when the truth is out, it's not like you're going to get these people who come and say sorry or give you your money back or say, okay, Ukrainians, you got to go home. I mean, you know, they just do what they want. And more often than not, just the actual opposite of what most people voted for. You know, I mean, we were never asked in the UK, and the UK has been one of the most belligerent, zealous anti-Russian cheerleaders in this whole scam, basically. But we were never asked. It's just an unchallenged assertion and assumption that we must stand by Ukraine with zero explanation as to why we should.
Mm-hmm. So in the United States, 20 years ago, the United States invaded Iraq, and then there was a war what did the United States lose? What were the total American casualties from that war? I don't think they exceed 10,000. If you're counting suicides, they were pretty large, but in terms of battlefield deaths that happened,
actual KIAs.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, they weren't. If you were injured in Iraq and then you were medevaced to Germany and died in a American military hospital in Germany, you didn't go into the killed in action category. So the data was massaged, but it wasn't tens of thousands the way it was in Vietnam, for instance, but. It was seen as being, in retrospect, it was seen as being a fiasco. And you had these people who had voted, people in the Senate, like Hillary Clinton, who had voted for the war in Iraq. And by the time that was, which would have been, I guess, late 2002 is when the vote came. The invasion was, I think, February or March. And then by 2007, when she started running for president, because she ran in 2008 as well, she was already having to say, well, the intelligence was wrong. People were having to make excuses for having voted for the war in Iraq. The intelligence was bad. They were blaming the intelligence. So it was already something that was seen as having been a mistake by a large swath of the public. It was a mistake. She was running as a Democrat, and Democrats were more, because the war was pursued by the Republican George Bush, the Democrats were quicker to say it was a mistake. But of course, in 2016, late 2015, when Donald Trump was on the stage, debate stage with George Bush's younger brother Jeb Bush, he was saying the war was a disaster. And I'm the only person on the stage who was against it and this and that. And so it took a while, but it became widely acknowledged that it was a mistake. And yet it's not as if that war caused a massive recession in the United States or deindustrialization. It didn't fundamentally change world politics and, the supposed enemies starting to dominate world politics. I mean, this here, it's going to be a clear loss. And like, even Iraq wasn't necessarily a clear loss, because in 2008, you still had American troops in Iraq. In 2016, it's not the government.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
I got the sky.
Clear loss. And like, even Iraq wasn't necessarily a clear loss, because in 2008 you still had American troops in Iraq. In 2016, it's not the government that had been created by out of the war in Iraq, their constitution, everything was still functioning. But in Ukraine, you're going to have you're no longer going to have. It's going to be regime change, basically. You're not going to, Zelensky's not going to be in Ukraine. You're going to have a different government, and the politics has changed to being pro-Russian. It's just going to be an obvious defeat. And it was a big enough strain on American politics, what happened in Iraq, that so you had to have everybody blaming the intelligence. I would think that this is going to be really traumatic, especially in the European countries, like I would think Britain, Germany, where they were so gung-ho on Ukraine, and the whole thing is going to be a loss. There's going to be tons of Ukrainian refugees sitting around as obvious reminders, as everyday reminders. I would think that this is going to be very traumatic for Europe when Ukraine finally is obviously defeated. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and no, I think you're right, but it's going to take a while, I think, until the full effects are felt in Germany.
And you know, the knock-on effect of the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline alone, you know, even apart from the billions that have been sent and the inflation and, you know, the refugee burden. But last year was a mild winter. There was reserves. But this winter might not be as mild, and the following winter might not be as mild. And eventually, you know, the consequences are going to be experienced much more severely. And then we'll see. But, you know, with the rise of the alternative for the AFD, you know, they are seeing this. They are predicting this. They're, you know, cognizant of how the dominoes are going to fall. And that it's a huge blow to Germany. And it will have a knock-on effect as well to the European nations, because there was so much cheap gas sent that the Russians said, well, you know, you buy it off us and you can sell it on, whatever's left. There was so much of it. And then, of course, like you said, I mean, the West, with those who pull the strings, the Jews in the West, with a mixture of their aggression and their paranoia and their hubris, have doubled down on this the whole way. And they're cutting their own throat. You're seeing, you know, China and Russia closer, Saudi Arabia. You're seeing this expansion and enthusiasm for BRICS. You're seeing the complete opposite when it comes to the G20 last week. You know, you're going to see these guys, it might not happen immediately, but they're pushing and going in the right direction for a gold-backed currency, which is a threat to the dollar. So, you know, they have turned it into, because you've got too many Jews there in the United States and their interests, and it's the same in the UK, which are the two big hubs, basically, of Jewish immigrants about a century ago, or just over a century ago, that are perpetrating this. And, you know, they've turned it into a massive, you know, negative for the West that they, you know, have hegemony over. And, you know, they've created a genuine threat to them, when all they had to do was say, okay, you know, Ukraine can be neutral. End of story, you know.
Mm-hmm. So how about Italy? You've got Giorgia Meloni, right? The hot prime minister, and
not that hot.
I know, but anyway,
I think she's a fraud.
Well, I remember Berlusconi, right? Silvio Berlusconi, who was originally part of her coalition, but he has since passed away. And
I'm sure she's glad about that.
Yeah, but Silvio Berlusconi once referring to Angela Merkel, referred to her as? It was very crude language, but it was like an undoable something or other. I can't quite remember what it was,
Okay, well, there's more black immigrants coming into Italy as a result of since Meloni was here or took power. In fact, when we came out of Lecco, which is on Lake Como, I was actually quite shocked by the number of young black males just hanging around in sort of small groups. You would see them, like, you know, 12 here, 6 there, 8 there, of course, running around, you know, chatting up young Italian girls. At one point, if I hadn't have been with my girlfriend who said no, I walked past a group of 4 of them drinking beers and had just discarded their beers on the street, at which point I was about to confront them, tell them to lift the beers up and that this isn't Africa. You know, at which point my girlfriend dragged me away from that situation. But this is a beautiful area. It's clean for the most part. There's a lot of wealthy tourists come there. And the next thing you see in these, you know, again, you know, black guys just drinking in the street, hanging out in these groups, and throwing their empty beer bottles on the street, along with their cigarette butts and their weed butts and everything else. So you're having more Africans coming into Italy since Meloni. Also, when you do a little bit of research on Meloni, first of all, this is a woman who ran on family values. And it's not for me to be overly judgmental, but as a Christian, and when you talk about, you know, she was talk about, you know, the traditions and the Catholic Church and everything else in Italy when she was running, one would assume, and I imagine your average traditional value kind of person, supporter,
both Christian and non-Christian alike, would see traditional values and the family as a unit contained within marriage. Now, Maloney is not married, but she has a child. So that immediately is not, you know, that's more liberal. You know, if you're running on traditional values, you would expect that you might, you know, be married to your partner of 7 years or whatever it is. It's also interesting that her partner apparently has extreme liberal views. Uh-huh. I don't know about you, but, you know, I think you can have a relationship with someone who's got different views than you. But if you're in public office and you're shaping policy in a traditional family way and you're married to someone, I think that would be problematic unless you're actually more on the same page than you're actually letting on, you know?
Uh-huh. So she came into office with this coalition, Berlusconi, who's since passed on, and with Matteo. What's his guy's name? He's not Silvio. I forgot his first name.
Silvano, was it? I forget. Something like that.
Yes, and he's the Northern League, right? Isn't he the head of the Northern League?
I think so.
Is been around for like 30 years or so. It's been around for a while, and it's kind of like quasi-separatist. The North is much more. Well, it's less corrupt.
Matteo Salvini, that's what it's called.
Oh, okay. I got the names interposed. Okay. Matteo Salvini. Yeah. He dominated although he wasn't prime minister, he dominated a previous cabinet. But I don't know how much influence he has here. He was legitimately anti-immigration, and he had been the interior minister in a previous cabinet and was taking at least somewhat stronger actions against against immigration. But and Silvio Berlusconi was friends with Putin, so you had this coalition where it seemed like the two men in the coalition might be able to restrain the woman, but the woman had the mandate. The woman had gotten massive votes. Why the Italian public, maybe I've seen her speak, and maybe she's a good speaker, but at this point, does she have any kind of support still from the Italian people, or have they soured on her? And then B, these two coalition partners, I don't know who has taken over, what was it, Forza Italia? Was that Berlusconi's party? These other two parties, are they emerging as any kind of alternative? Is there any kind of alternative? Because she's been like super pro Ukraine, whereas Berlusconi.
Yeah, no, she was, but she didn't start off that way. Mm. But she quickly became, you know, very pro Ukrainian. She was over there, you know, again for a traditional family type character, been very buddy, and almost like I said, very sort of irritatingly like a little schoolgirl around Joe Biden, like she just, you know, met some, you know, famous Hollywood actor or something. I mean, it was sickening. She's supposed to be a serious politician representing the Italian nation, and she's over there acting like a giddy, silly little woman in the presence of Joe Biden, who's about the complete opposite of anything to do with traditional values and the sort of things that the Italians are interested in. The Italians are much more anti-immigration and much more traditional in their thinking, particularly with immigration, than they would be in the UK or France or even places like that, you know. So I'm not an expert on the situation or the public mood in Italy, even though I've been spending some time here. But I expect that, you know, with the rise in immigration here since her premiership and, you know, her massive support of Ukraine, I would imagine they'll get rid of her sooner rather than later, basically, you know.
And here's one last thing. So we've got in Africa these rumblings. So you had a coup in, I guess, late July in Niger, and the United Victoria Nuland promptly flew over and said, you know, made some threats, said we need to see the ousted president and don't let the Wagner group in. And there's been pressure on Nigeria to the south to lead some sort of international force. I guess there is a, what is the ECOWAS, the some organization of West African countries, some economic.
Yeah, ECOWAS is just basically, you know, it's a, you know, a euphemism for basically African puppets of the United States.
The West, yeah, of the United States. And so if you were to have an intervention, and of course, Mali, which is a big, so Niger and Mali, they are Sahara countries. In the south, it's habitable, but the north is the Sahara. It's almost completely empty. So they're very, very big on the map, but they don't have huge populations. But they have very fast-growing populations. And I think the Niger has probably the highest fertility rate in the world. They've got the average woman has 6 or 7 children. And the African countries in general have high fertility, booming populations. Is the continent 1.4 billion? So we started off this show talking about Ukraine, which with the war in Ukraine, something like a third of the population, if not more, has gone, you know, left the country and gone to Europe. Well, Ukraine started off with what, 30 something million, and Africa's 1.4 billion. And if you're talking about a wide regional war that's going to include, because Mali and Burkina Faso, also known as Upper Volta, these countries have said that if there's an attack on Niger, it's an attack, or Niger, it's an attack on them as well. Gabon, which is a little, is in kind of the corner of the Gulf of Guinea or whatever, but it's a little bit farther south and farther east. But they recently had a similar kind of coup, overthrowing their president, their longtime president Bongo. What a name, President Bongo. There's been a Bongo dynasty. They've been in charge for decades. And Gabon actually is an OPEC country. They produce a lot of oil. They're relatively affluent. But you could have this, if not continent-wide, at least like all of West Africa engulfed in – and it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if it's continent-wide where the war is. Because if you have a war in Niger – people from Ethiopia, from 1,000 miles, from thousands of miles away, are going to flood into Europe, fleeing the brutal civil war in Niger, right?
Anytime there's like anytime there's a power cut, in Africa, or a well that stops producing water, we get about 1 million African refugees.
And the potential is enormous. And you know, one of the things I point out, so Nigeria is. They're being pressed to lead this invasion of Niger, and they have a very long border. The thing I point out is there are more blacks in Nigeria than there are whites in America.
That's true.
These countries have enormous populations, and the potential for flooding Europe with infinity African immigrants, completely overwhelming it, is there. It's real.
Yeah, of course it is. And it's bad enough as it is. I mean, you know, if ever there was a time to be securing your borders, it's now. I mean, but will that happen? I don't know. We'll see. It's probably unlikely. Was it yesterday or the day before, that Niger have arrested a French official there as well. So, I mean, they're not playing ball with the West, as we saw with Victoria Nuland. When she went over there, you know, to see what the leader there, the ousted leader, what's his name, Bassoud, is it? The gloves are off when it comes to these people, you know. So, they've arrested a French official as well, which has caused more tensions. And in many ways, you could see the kind of a proxy war here, like, you know, between the West and Russia and the Wagner group and all that as well play out in Africa. And like you said, you know, it could well result in the next flood of immigrants. You know, I would say, I mentioned this to you as well. You know, all this type of legislation, you know, that our Western nations signed up to post World War II was completely driven by Jewish actors as a result of the.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You know, all this type of legislation, you know, that our Western nations signed up to post-World War II was completely driven by Jewish actors as a result of the, you know, promoted notion of Jews burning in ovens and all the rest of it and having to flee to escape these camps and everything else. But, you know, it's been so abused now that any country, and it's always the traffic's only ever one way. Now, I know there are refugees that go to other parts of the world too, but usually the West have to pay them huge sums of money to do it. I mean, the Chinese don't take all these people. The Indians don't take all these people. Israelis certainly don't. You know, more often than not, Europe's the only destination on the map. I mean, but this whole idea that if you've got a war in your country or you've got political strife and that this is a legitimate reason to flee your country, it's got to stop. You know, when the Irish were persecuted by the British, which they were for centuries, and then when the British attempted to starve them with the potato famine and they had to flee to New York, the New Yorkians weren't waiting for them with open arms. You know, they didn't get free money when they got there. You know, this whole thinking has got to stop, because otherwise it's just another excuse to flood Europe with more migrants. And it's just another excuse and a motivating factor to start more wars around the world, or to starve Africans, or to whatever, because that's always the end result. And we've said this before, we don't support these policies in the war. And then we have to bear the burden of them when it comes to the fallout of these things, you know, most recently by, you know, the Ukrainian refugees and the Nord Stream pipeline and the threat of potentially an escalating war, which is possible, because now you're hearing the Americans and the British talking about doing, you know, war games in the Black Sea. You know, so that's the other thing that we, you know, when we're talking about what's going to happen with Ukraine, you know, this could still escalate into a wider conflict, you know.
Yeah. And I don't want to go into it because I don't know enough at this point. But there's talks of military exercises by the United States and Armenia. So that's something we'll have to talk about some other time. But, you know, to just take a step back, it's so easy for Victoria Nuland and the Jews who run American foreign policy to do all these things. To take all these massive gambles, because they're not the ones at the end of the day. If they win, they get what they want. If they lose, then the goyim are the ones who have to pay. They don't have to pay. They're not even called out on it. They're not identified.
No, exactly.
So America meddled in Central America, and so America has to receive one third of their population, and that's how it's been. And also
receive the hatred around the world. I mean, you know, your average American person doesn't know where Ukraine is. It has no interest in a war with Ukraine. It has no interest in a war with Iraq. You know, most Americans are just trying to get on with their lives. But yet they will bear the brunt of it economically, like the Europeans do. I mean, you've got your own problem with southern borders coming through there from a demographic threat as well. But, you know, more often than not, these wars are fought in a way that the Europeans always bear the demographic and financial burden of it, you know?
Well, anyway, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining me.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Patrick, and we'll do something again soon, I hope.
Yeah, and maybe we can do your show soon. Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.